Thank you all for coming. I just trust that God is going to do something in this series. We are praying that he will. I'm sure he wants to. So we're the only ones in the way. Let's just let it happen. About 4.5 years ago, my immediate family went on a cruise. We had worked pretty hard as kids while we grew up, all the while we were home, and never took a vacation. So about 4.5 years ago, we went on this Alaskan cruise. It was really fun. We went to at least two glacier bays, and the snow, that ship is probably about 75 feet out of the water. So you can imagine how tall that snowbank is that's coming down between a couple of mountains. And it moves a few inches an hour. As it moves out into the bay, huge chunks just break loose. And it sounds exactly like thunder. I think that's why they call one place Thunder Bay. And then it echoes off of the water. It's really fun. We had a really fun time. And one day, we stayed in the dining area pretty much all day. We even put a puzzle together. In one day, we just sat around, six of us, put this puzzle together. But it was during that time that we talked like we had never talked before. My mom was still with us. She's since passed, but my mom was with us. And my dad got to talking about his will. And dad is 89 now, and every time I see him, he keeps talking about, well, I'm just about done, you know, but he's still with us, doing well. Talked about his will, and basically just wanted to share with us what we expected. Most things in his will be share and share alike. We four kids would just split things together. But there are some other provisions of his will that are unique to the individuals, we four kids. For example, I was the one with the great livestock interest and involvement. And so Dad told us all that there's some special things in his will, just kind of specific to me, and so on with the other kids as well. And as I think about that, it's really much like the gospel. You know, we have the nature of this is much that way. Our Heavenly Father has given us gifts. And this is especially true since Jesus has risen from the dead. The gifts are all that much more sure to come to us. Last week, Tim shared from Ephesians 2:10 that we are God's workmanship. He's fashioning us. And he's fashioning us specifically for some good deeds that he's already thought about, that he's already got in our path for us to do. But one of the ways that this comes about is through our area of gifting, some of the gifts that he has given to us. Last week also, Tim shared this quote from Priscilla Presley. That's Elvis Presley's ex-wife. She said this, "Elvis never came to terms with who or what he was meant to be, or what his purpose in life was. He thought he was here for a reason, maybe to preach or to save or to serve and care for people. That agonizing desire was always in him, and he knew he wasn't fulfilling it." That is a powerful thing to say. What a huge disappointment. I want to build for us this morning a one-paragraph statement that would be a way that you and I don't have to reach the same end, a way that you and I could actually accomplish something in our lives, and when we reach the end of it, to know that we've accomplished something of value. Here's the statement. The truth is that God is love, which describes his perfection and wholeness in every way. And the truth is also that we were made to be like him. That's true. Each of us has failed his perfect standard. But God, in his great love and mercy, has provided a reconciliation by taking our ugly sins and placing them on his own Son, who yielded up his lifeblood as a satisfactory payment. Now, to those who will transfer their trust completely onto Jesus Christ, God gives gifts. He gives eternal life as a gift. He gives the indwelling Holy Spirit as a gift. He gives us a family. Jesus at one point was asked by his earthly family to come home. They thought he'd gone insane. He was just doing too many wonderful things. They thought it was weird. And he said, no, here's my family. Whoever does the will of my Father in heaven, he is my mother and my brother and my sister. And most of us sense that when we get saved. Most of us sense, yeah, you're really my identifying family. We get a family. That's share and share alike. But we also each receive at least one special gift, a spiritual gift. One of the things that our family business is about is spreading the love of God across the planet. It's called the Great Commission. That's why we're having this fundraiser dinner today, because some of us are going over to Nepal to share the love of Jesus Christ in another land. That might seem strange, but you know, the original apostles were all in Israel when they started, and they did take this gospel throughout the world. I don't know if they'll get into India or not in this trip, but that's where the apostle Thomas spent a good deal of his life and made a mark there. God brought many to faith in India through the Apostle Thomas. So that's the family business. My purpose here today is to prime our hearts and our lives to want to know what our special gifting is. That's really all I want to accomplish today. So let's pray to that end here. God, I thank you that you made us individuals. It is so fun. Now we ask you to speak to us individually. In Jesus' name. Amen. In Matthew 25, Jesus told a crowd of people, he warned them, saying, I'm going to come back. And there'd be a temptation for you to not be ready. So he told this parable. He said, it is just like a man who's about to go on a journey, who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, each according to his own ability, and he went on his journey. Immediately, the one who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and gained 5 more talents. In the same manner, the one who had received the 2 talents gained 2 more. But the one who received the 1 talent went away and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. The one who had received the 5 talents came up and brought 5 more talents, saying, Master, you entrusted 5 talents to me. See, I've gained 5 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Also, the one who had received the 2 talents came up and said, Master, you entrusted 2 talents to me. See, I've gained 2 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one who had received the 1 talent came up and said, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid, and went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours. But the master answered and said to him, you wicked, lazy slave, you knew that I reap where I did not sow, huh? And gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have put my money in the bank. And upon my arrival, I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. Throw out the worthless slave into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Okay, so there are several important points to this parable that we want to make here relative to this gifting that God has given us that we're discussing here for this semester. Number one, they had to work with their gifts. Their gifts didn't flourish apart from their owner's involvement. This is true in all of life, in any area that we have expertise. We tend to focus on it more, not less. These gifts that God gives don't just arrive upon us in our sleep and we are somehow kind of, ding, you know, I'm special. Usually, just like in any other field, you know, if you're a musician, you practice a lot. In fact, medical, I just always think this is funny. The doctors, they call it a practice. I'd rather go someplace who knows what they're doing than somebody who's practicing. But they're practicing. They're putting into practice what they've been given. That is the thought. Notice that the one who received the 5 talents, immediately he got busy. When he came back, when the master came back, he had gained 5 talents more. I would venture to guess that if he hadn't gotten busy right away, he wouldn't have had 5 extra talents. We need to work in the area of our gifting. Point number one. Number two, the master's pleasure with the faithful slaves was that they used the few things they had been given, not that compared to someone else, they were doing well. This is between you and your maker. You won't be graded according to how you relate to me or anybody sitting beside you. God doesn't grade on the curve, and he doesn't bless, he doesn't reward on the curve. He knows what he gave you, and he expects you to use it. And number three, this is fun, the slave's future fulfillment was correlated to their faithful use of the talents they had been given. The two faithful slaves were faithful with a few things, Jesus said, the master said. I'll put you in charge of many things. Your eternity is at stake in some ways. Your eternity will be more filled. Somebody said it this way, in heaven, everybody's cup will be filled. Just some of us will have a bigger cup. Use the gifts that God has given. Now, I want us to look at a verse in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. Real simple verse. Simply says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I don't want you to be unaware. Don't let the area of spiritual gifting be just sort of a mysterious little hocus-pocus thing, you know. We can understand something here, and that's the purpose of our series. Our desire with the series is that you would not be unaware of the value, the importance, and the purpose or the plan of your own spiritual gifting, and that you'd be equipped to function well in your area, in your arena of gifting. I really want every one of us to hear this. Well done, good and faithful slave. You've been faithful with a few things. I'm going to put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. That's our purpose here. Well, the New Testament has 4 major passages on spiritual gifting. What I'd like to do this morning, I made sort of a table or a chart, and that isolates the value of these individual gifts. And I want us to see some of the similarities between these passages, what's stressed, what seems to become a theme in these passages. There's some things we just need to understand. So there we go. Is it all on there? Are there four? I can't see it very well. Yeah, okay, I'm with it. All right, so four major passages, and I want to draw out the teachings in those passages. First of all, in Romans chapter 12, the first thing that it says is that we have gifts that differ. We have differing gifts. And he says they're gifts that differ according to our faith. What I think this means is that if you have the gift of administration, for example, when you read the Bible, you see structure, you see order, and you live out your life that way. You bring a blessed order to the table in that way. I think our dear brother Adam probably has the gift of administration, and he just thinks in terms of structure. He just thinks in terms of order. This should be done now. Hey, we didn't say we were going to do that. That wasn't the plan. You can get too rigid there, I understand. But there's a blessing there. And as he reads the scriptures, that's what stands out to him. If you have the gift of giving, as you read the scriptures, you see how much God talks about giving to the poor or the needy or the orphan or the widow. It stands out to you. I think that's what he means here by saying that we have gifts that differ according to our faith. The next thing that Romans 12 says is exercise them, use them, be like those faithful slaves that got busy with their area of talent, with their area of gift. And this is a process. A lot of us, in fact, I don't think you ever can know immediately what your area of gift is. This is a process. So as we jump into this, I'm going to give us an assignment at the end here to go through a little assessment test, but I'm not suggesting that automatically we will know. We're going to be patient with one another, but God's plan is that we would exercise them. The next thing said there in Romans 12 is don't think more highly of yourself than you should. This is a theme repeated in each of these passages, really. Don't think that your gift is the only gift there is, or that if you have this gift, you're really on fire. It doesn't work that way. The gifts were not given for personal status advancement. They were given for the body, and that's the next thing. We, many, form one body. This is repeated in all of the four passages. We who are many form one body. We can't expect everybody to be an arm. It wouldn't do us much good. We who are many form one body. And then in Romans 12, we see a few of those gifts listed. Service, teaching, exhortation, giving, leading, and mercy. So putting it together, he says, if you have the gift of service, serve. Go ahead. Make yourself useful. That's the definition of kindness. If you have the gift of service, what would happen is you'll probably be available often if you have this gift. God will see to it. That's what Ephesians 2:10 is talking about. God's prepared things for us to walk in. Just do it. Serve. If you have the gift of teaching, teach. If you have the gift of mercy, heal. Give people a place to heal. Give them time. Give them place. Give them your ear and so on. But exercise your gifts. There are many of them. Then the second major passage on spiritual gifts in the New Testament is in 1 Corinthians chapters 12 through 14. Really, the whole three chapters there are about gifts. Now, some of you are thinking, well, chapter 13 is in the middle of chapter 12 and chapter 14, and that's not about gifts. But it is. It is about gifts. It is about using your gifts correctly. Love is patient. Love is kind and is not jealous. Love doesn't brag. It isn't arrogant and so on. And in your area of gift, you better believe all those things apply. First thing we see in 1 Corinthians 12 is the verse that we started off with there in verse 1. Be aware. Be aware of spiritual gifts. I don't want you to be unaware. There is such a thing as a spiritual gift. And if you're in Christ, you got one. Be aware of that. Second thing, there are a variety of gifts, and there's a variety of ministries, and there's a variety of effects. This is extremely, extremely important. There are varieties of gifts. There are many of them. There's administrations. There is an apostleship gift. There's a leadership gift. There's a compassion or mercies gift. There's a gift of giving, a gift of healing, and so on. Many gifts. There's a variety of them. But at the very same time, there are a variety of ministries. It's not necessarily the case that if you have the gift of mercies that you're going to do one thing. The variety, the gift of mercies can be displayed in a myriad of ministries. And there are literally hundreds of ministries. Most hospitals started because Christians wanted to show mercy. Christians wanted to extend compassion. And so hospitals were formed as a ministry. There are financial ministries, Christian men and women who desire that people would be good stewards, and they've turned it into a ministry, a myriad of ministries. There are varieties of gifts, varieties of ministries, and there is a variety of effects. This is absolutely fascinating, and this is one reason that you will not really know what your gift is until you practice something, until you try things. For example, Tim and I both have a responsibility, anyway, to teach. Don't know that either one of us is particularly gifted, trying, and would like to be, but here's the point. We have a different effect when we speak. We can say the same message and have a different effect. I used to joke, and I haven't said it for quite a while, but my effect that I have when I speak is that people either go to sleep or have to go to the bathroom. I just somehow seem to relax people, except Josh. Josh is the only one I can make jump, and he's not here. Ah. Anyway, we have a different effect, and we're meant to have a different effect. The you know, in Revelation, it describes seven spirits around the throne. What's that all about? Well, I don't really know, but it means that God is complete. He's whole. And there's a beauty in his wholeness, and God wants to display that beauty of our differences in his wholeness. So we get this from 1 Corinthians 12. Then, don't think more highly of yourself than you should think. Same theme again. We saw it in Romans 12. We see it again here. We should be getting this idea come to mind at this point. If this is repeated twice, it's probably likely that we will have this temptation to think, if I just have this gift, I'll be something. If I could just do such and such, I would be something. I just thought of this analogy this week. Have you ever heard the phrase, he's all heart? If somebody was all heart, he'd be in trouble. Can you imagine if we were all heart, we'd just be a bunch of hearts, you know, bloop, 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 bloop. We sit there and beat, and that's all we can do. We don't even have blood. We don't even have vessels. We don't have nothing. But we're all heart. God has designed the body to be many members, each with an important part. And the last thing we see in that 1 Corinthians long passage is that greater gifts are defined as those that can influence more for good. There are greater gifts, but they're not greater in that any of us have a greater status if we possess this gift or that gift. That is not the idea. All of the gifts are for giving. All of the gifts are for using. And a greater gift is an ability to encourage more, an ability to effect for good more. That's what a greater gift is. And we're told to earnestly desire the greater gifts. Earnestly desire that your gift can be used to its maximum potential. Third passage, major passage in the New Testament on gifting, is in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 16. And again, same theme in the beginning of that chapter. He says there's one body, there's one spirit, we have one hope. Some of the gifts are share and share alike. But Each one of us has a special gift. The theme is picked up again in Ephesians 4. Another thing that is said in Ephesians 4 is to be diligent to promote the unity of the Spirit. This is in the context of our giftedness. We could tend to divide ourselves by our giftedness. We'll get into some of those traps here afterwards, but if I project onto you that I why aren't you like I am? That'd be divisive. God wants us to understand different gifts does not mean status. We don't compare ourselves with one another. The gifts were given to bless the whole. Then in Ephesians 4, we see that gifted men have been given to the church to equip the church. Apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers have been given to the church. 1 Corinthians 12, I think Luke mentioned this morning, or Tim maybe mentioned it. Yeah, Tim read this from 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13, I believe it is, says that the Holy Spirit has decided who gets what gift, and he's put us together in the body. The Holy Spirit has personally selected to put you here and to put your gifting here. And so he has given gifted men or mature men or both to the church to equip the church. And that's my desire in this series, is to equip you with some knowledge of what God's given you. And spiritual gifts is one part. We'll get into heart, and we'll get into, what's the A again? I forgot. Abilities, yeah, different abilities. And then our personalities and our experiences. All of that is what makes you, you, and God wants all of it to be a blessing to the others. And the last thing we see in Ephesians 4, around verses 14 through 16, is that each member has a part in the building up of the body of Christ. You might remember this verse, as each member does its individual part, that's in Ephesians 4:16. That's what we're talking about here. Some of the responsibilities we have as believers is across the board, no matter what your gift is. Love one another. But some of your part is the display of your gift to the benefit of the body. And obviously, I don't have time now. There are 19 gifts that we have that we could go through, and if I spent 10 minutes on each one, we'd be here too long. I'm leaving that for Tim next week. I'm just, we'll see how he does with that. No, I'm just wanting to give us a desire to know. It's a valuable thing to have some understanding of who I am, how God made me, how he wants to use me. The last passage that I see in the New Testament, major passage on gifts, is in 1 Peter chapter 4. And one of the major teachings in 1 Peter 4 is this teaching: the end is near. The context of gifting in 1 Peter is relative to the end being near, sort of like what we went over there in Matthew 25. Jesus told the parable saying, I'm going to return. And when I return, the way the parable reads, I'm going to settle accounts. 1 Corinthians 3 indicates that God's going to examine our work, and every single thing we did out of response of faith will be rewarded. We're wanting to maximize the reward that you're going to receive. The end is near. And then he says, keep fervent in love. I mentioned again that 1 Corinthians 13 is nestled between two chapters on gifts, and I don't think that's a mistake. I don't think it's a departure from the theme. The theme is the gifts were given to love better, and he repeats it here in 1 Peter chapter 4. Fervently love one another. The end is near. Fervently love one another. And then he says each one has received a special gift. What do you know? We're in the same ballpark once again. Each one has received a special gift. Employ it. He says it again. This is a theme. You got a gift? Use it. And in 1 Peter, they're split down in two categories. There are speaking gifts, and there are serving gifts. So you can teach or maybe even administer or lead. These tend to be speaking gifts. If you're going to lead somebody, you usually need to communicate something. So leadership could even be mercies, but generally mercies would be in the category of a serving gift, or giving would be a serving gift, or helps. There's a gift of helps. If you have the gift of helps, God bless you. You are useful in a myriad of ways. And you'll find that when you help people, it goes well. When you help people, you just seem to have a knack for, oh, I get it, and I do it. Tremendously powerful gift. Anyway, two separate categories of gifts, speaking gifts and serving gifts. And the next thing that we see in 1 Peter 4 is another purpose of the gifts is to bring God maximum glory. As I've been saying, God is whole. And we're kind of a small little fellowship yet, but it's happening. It's happening. We're becoming more and more able to meet needs. People are rising up. Jenny's dead now. We have filled some of her spots. But we have more needs than Jenny was able to give, and those areas will be filled in. You don't even know what God's going to do with you, and I don't either. That's the fun part. The purpose is to bring God maximum glory. And the last thing is in 1 Peter 4, there in verse 12, he says, don't think it strange regarding the fiery ordeal as if something weird was happening to you. There will be a degree of suffering in this. Just to let you know, there will be a degree. You'll be serving and you won't be noticed. You'll be serving and you think, I have to do that too? That's part of the fiery ordeal, at least of starting a new church. That's a fiery ordeal. All right, so here are just a couple of traps that we'll need to avoid. The first trap is the trap of comparison. Measuring my gifts against others. You know, I really think I'm something because I, and then you fill in the blank, because I can lead or I can give or I can show mercy. Therefore, I think I'm something. Comparing myself with someone else, it leads either to pride or self-pity. Oh man, I can't do nothing. I'm just a nobody. I don't got no gift. Yes? We already established that. You do. If you're in Christ, you have a gift. Remember, the more visible does not equal the more valuable. I mentioned that gift of helps. Oh, I think that's a treasure. People who are just, Mike Rorson back in Ames, he used to call himself an okie dokie. Whatever you need, I'll do it. Oh, what a blessing. What a blessing. The more visible does not equal the more valuable. Just use what you've been given to the max. Don't compare. And the other one I mentioned a little bit is projection. This is a trap, expecting others to be the same as I am. If I got the gift of evangelism just on my heart all the time, and I look at my brothers and sisters and they're watching a video and I think, what a loser. Because they're not doing what I think is valuable. Remember Romans 12? We have gifts that differ according to our faith. God touches our faith. And that's why we have certain passions and certain cares. Don't project that upon somebody else and think they should do the same. That'll lead to frustration or being judgmental or to resent another person. Remember, God's vision contains great glory. Okay, as we close this morning, we're going to have those booklets passed out. And if you are someone who really wants to know how God has made you, then we have an assignment this week. I want you to begin on page 4 of your notebook. There's 133 questions. I think it was 133 questions. 133 question assessment test, just to kind of give you some idea of what gift God may have given you. It'll take maybe as long as an hour. I think I spent a little over an hour on it, but it'll be worth it. I want to say this, as you answer your questions, okay, this is why we didn't hand them out earlier. Everybody's looking at the book. As you answer your questions, don't be annoyed if it seems like, what? I don't even know what that's talking about. Just let it go. Just answer a little low on that. Look for the questions that really do relate to you and score those high. Okay? Bring your books along next week. And I would suggest that you fill out your test before your life group. If you're in a life group, it'd be a good thing to bring to life group. Do this before you come to life group. And then spend some time renewing your findings there. And then if you have time, I would also like you to spend some time on the first 27 pages. There's a display of the gifts, a definition of the gifts there, and some key clues that might give you ideas of your sensitivities to let you know, yeah, I think maybe that's who I am. So if you have time, it'd be good to read those. Hopefully Tim will be going over them next week. I feel sorry for him. He has to follow me in this, but he's not even here. Just everybody tell him, Bob didn't say a thing about the specific gifts. That's all on you. So you'll have to do it. Okay, let's summarize this morning. Number one, God has given each of his children at least one spiritual gift. Number two, there are varieties of gifts, varieties of ministries, and a variety of effects. This is fascinating. I looked up, when I was studying for this message, I looked up a word in that 1 Peter 4 passage. I believe it was the word variety. I think it was the word variety. It was a word like that, okay? And the word literally means color. This is how God's going to color our world. You're not like him. That's good. We need to color each other's world with God, what God has made us. Variety of gifts, variety of ministries, variety of effects. Number three, I must not think too highly of my gift or too lowly of it. Don't go there. Don't go there. It's between you and God. He gave you a gift. You use it. Number four, my gift displayed brings a unique glory to the God who gave it. That's that color issue. Number five, my gift is given for the common good of the body of Christ. It's not a status war. It is a community sharing. Bring what you got. Number six, as I discover and employ my gift now, I bring my master pleasure and gain preparation for eternal cooperation with him to my eternal fulfillment. That's a mouthful, but that's from that parable. Remember, well done, you were faithful. I'm going to make you faithful for a lot of things in the eternal kingdom. And number seven, just wanted to say this, the purpose of this message was to make you want to know what your gift is and to become equipped to serve well. You know, in the early church, there were, as the church grew kind of rapidly, there were some needs that came up, and it got kind of out of hand, and so the apostles said, guys, whoa. You guys pick seven men, and we will look into their lives, and if they are of a character that they can serve, we will give them each a ministry to function in. What is going to be happening in Lifehouse Church is as God makes it plain to you and to us, the area of gifting he's given to you, we'll just have a bunch of deacons and deaconesses running around. A deacon is just a servant. We'll be serving, 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 and we will watch the needs get met. In the early church, it was said there was not a needy one among them. And if that's the case, everybody's given. May God do that here. Let's pray. God, we thank you. Thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for your wholeness. Thank you for your beauty. We ask you to do that stuff in us and among us. In Jesus' name, amen.